Before we begin this episode, I want to give a shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems, especially Cristian Galindo, Evelyn Preciado, and Cassandra Gutierrez. Y'all have been rock stars and rocking with us for years. So much love to Cristian, Evelyn, and Cassandra. If you want to support the ongoing production, check out the link in the description. A dollar gives you some posts and some archive to, older content. $5 gets you a video episode of all the new episodes. $10 gets you an extra episode, and then $15 and $30 gets you shout outs on the pod. So continue, consider joining it. And again, that's patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link is in the description, and let's start the show. All right, let's do it live. Hello, hello, hello. I am one of your hosts, Ruben, coming to you from Portland, Oregon.
And this is Cassandra coming to you from El Paso, Texas.
And this week's recession indicator is that Christian Girl Autumn was canceled for a hot minute by the creator of the movement to make f fall aesthetic. She decided that it was too much pressure to outdo her autumn pictures every year. But then proceeded to give us some autumn joy the next day. I do want to
Was
call,
JK.
yeah,
She
it
was
was JK.
JK.
I do want to call out to all you weirdos is that fall doesn't begin until like the end of September. So we're
We're
still in
still summer.
summer. Yeah.
I don't know.
Right now in Portland, it's a mess because of the wildfires and because general shit weather that we have. So it's like hot, but it's cloudy as fuck. But how's El Paso doing? Is it still full on summer?
Absolutely. It's still hot as shit. Well, it's like cooling down. Like today it's 85, so it's not that hot actually, but I mean it's still summer. Still summer.
Yeah. God, the weather people, meteorologists are saying that like we're looking forward to like a pretty rough winter here in Portland. So, this might be it for me here. Who knows? Yeah. But you had a topic in mind that came through your feed. Can you introduce it and like how it came to your feed?
Yeah, so for those who don't follow me,
Where do they
they're
follow you? You have so many
on my,
accounts.
I know, on my personal Instagram. yeah, there's been, I think last time we recorded, we were talking about broke men or like the propaganda I'm not falling for, which was this whole male loneliness epidemic, be nice to men bullshit. And I'm bringing back another one, another propaganda we're not falling for. And that's antinatalism within leftist spaces or amongst leftists.
What is
And
antinatalism?
so antinatalism is kind of just anti-reproducing, anti-having children. Because it's like morally wrong. Honestly, when people, and it's like I'm talking specifically within leftist spaces because there's like antinatalism within like right wing space, and I feel like it's different. So we're only talking about, I don't know. I think all of antinatalism is just so, it reminds me of like the people that are like, the world is overpopulated and we don't have enough resources to feed everybody, and like all this Thanos bullshit where I'm just like, shut the fuck up. Anyway, so it goes hand in hand, I think, just with, I don't even know how to. Okay, let's start at, there's this video. I want to say it's a TikTok that made its way to Instagram through a reel of this white man. I'm pretty sure he's just like a white man who like goes on this rant about antinatalism, and it like took off. Like I've seen this video and now it's like being tweeted, but essentially this tweet came up on my feed and I'm gonna read it to you all about like a break, like a summary of that video of this man, because it's also like, A white man is saying something, more than likely, I'm not even going to engage with that video or like take them seriously, but apparently everybody did. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry, y'all. I should have been more prepared. Okay, so this is the tweet about said video. Just watched a video, and this guy explains how having children politically castrates parents. In the sense that they cannot go out and protest, they cannot take financial risks, they cannot be a true revolutionary because they have to worry about their children's safety and security. So essentially that is what this person is arguing. Like, I hate that they used politically castrated because I all like, bitch, what the fuck? Why, like, the way that people talk about parents and children is like through this disgusting language all the time that I hate, which is just another conversation. But saying, like, because of capitalism, parents cannot be quote unquote revolutionaries. Because they have children, we cannot go to a protest because we're busy taking care of our kids, because we cannot take our kids for their safety, we cannot take financial risks. We cannot do anything, essentially, right? Like, we're just here being parents. And it's like this propaganda that falls into antinatalism because there is like a strong push for people not to have children or for people that have children to feel like they're morally wrong, especially when people are like, why are people having kids right now? Like, look at the state of the world, look at climate change. I don't know. And it kind of always just boils down to like, you hate kids because of the way that people talk about these things. It's not even like, I feel like they try to jump through hoops to justify all these things when it's like, just say you don't like kids and go. Like, that's all this really boils down to for me. And the fact that y'all are like, it's trying to present it as this, like, oh, it's like this critical lens of capitalism and parenthood. And it's like, it's not though, because if you actually cared about capitalism and how that affects parents and children, then you would be including parents and children into spaces, into conversation, into everything, your political views, but you don't, because you'd rather not have to deal with parents and children. So therefore, there's this push to have people just not have kids at all, if that kind of makes sense. But this isn't like the first time I see this conversation, not the first time I see this fucking video. And I don't know if there's like more videos being made, but it's just so ahistorical. Like, it's wild. Like, when you break it down, because it's like the problem again is that people don't want to be in community with children. It's not that parents are politically castrated, or that parents don't want to show up or don't want to do these things. It's like all of it is false because I don't know about y'all, but when I show up to or any organizing or any community event, there's always parents there. There's parents there with their kids at protests. There's parents without their kids. There's always like mothers present, and maybe not a lot that I wish like I could see, right? But it's like they're there. So, first of all, it's like erasing parents from them being visible and them being active in community spaces. Like, they're there. And most of the times they're on the front lines. And the parents that aren't there are most of the time like not there because there's no childcare being provided ever, because like sometimes you can't make it to something. Right? Like, I'm sure, like, this is something that happens with everybody. Like, capitalism keeps us all in this individual, like, just busy working, trying to keep your head above water. Like, that's everybody, right? Like, not everybody can say that. Like, I don't have time to go to this protest. I don't have time to do organizing because I'm working 40 hours a week, because I go to school, because I do this. Like, that's the reality for everybody under capitalism. With parents, it's like the same, but yeah, and it's a little bit different, but it's all the same. And yet again, parents still make it out to these things, right? And so there's that. There's that aspect, but it's also like taking it back in a historical context, like it's even wilder to say that because many revolutionaries have had children. Malcolm X had children, Martin Luther King had children, Assata Shakur had children. Like, People they exist and they were fighting for a better world for their children and just children in general, which I don't see a lot of now. Like, I hardly see people ever talking about children, about including children, about talking about children, about children's liberation, about how capitalism affects children. Like, nothing. It's always just like children are not included in anything, not even in like, I'm fighting for a better world for children. It's just like, it just doesn't really exist that I see a lot of it. And maybe it's just a West thing, honestly, because like when I think of feminists in Mexico, for example, like a lot of collectives, especially in Mexico, like are led by mothers, especially when we're talking about femicides. It's always like parents and mostly mothers looking for their daughters and like being on the front lines to talk about femicides and to talk about child liberation and to talk about adultism. Like, it's very prevalent within feminist collectives and organizations in Mexico that I do not see here in the US. So it could be very much like a West thing. I don't know. But within like movements in the 70s, there was always like a center on children, whether that's like, again, very basic, like we're fighting for a better world for our children. We're protecting children. Like the Black Panthers started like the breakfast program to feed children. There was childcare in place so that parents can show up and be a part of these things that they're just non-existent today. Like I said, like parents and children are an afterthought. So it's just like, instead of being like, how can we make these spaces accessible to children and include parents and make it easier for them to show up? And like, how do we support parents? Which we've had this conversation before, like a few episodes back, right? About showing up for moms and showing up for parents. Like, instead, we're just going to go online and say, like, talk about antinatalism and how parents are politically castrated instead of actually, you know what I mean? Like, fucking doing anything. Like, it's just, it's very upsetting to me, obviously, as a parent, but it's just like, it's false. And it's also just like I said, just say you don't want to be in solidarity and in community with children and parents and like go, because that's all it really boils down to.
And like, what does it look like to include parents into
So,
spaces and to political frameworks, I think, importantly?
yeah, like when I say, so first and foremost, like if you have an event, whether that's again like it's a workshop, it's an whatever, I think like saying like childcare is very important, and not just like we're gonna sit here and be in this room and watch your kids, but it's like, how do we include children, especially youth that are a little bit older? How do we actually bring them to the table? Because it's not just like, okay, look, here we have childcare in place, like bring your kids. It's also like, how are you engaging with children? Because like children are should be a part of these conversations. Like, when we talk about capitalism, it affects children. So why not engage with children on their level of like, let's make a zine about how we feel powerless in the context of like adultism and like adult supremacy. How do you feel about authority? Like, there are workshops and things that you could do with children to get them thinking about these things, you know what I mean? And that's how you bring children to the table. Like, if you're having an event about gentrification, about tenants, about whatever, like why do you think that children cannot be a part of that conversation, right? And like some of the, like on one way or another, and it doesn't even have to be that, like if you're having something about gentrification, about displacement, about housing, which affects children, but like maybe that you can engage with them and like politically in another way. And I think that's how you include children and like let them know that their ideas are also important and their voices are also important. And it's not just like, oh, I was brought here because my mom's here, and so I'm just sitting here waiting for her. Right. When we talk about like children's liberation and being in community with children, like the first thing is to actually talk to children, which is very basic, but it is like talking with children about these things. Again, it's not like I'm gonna go up to a child and be like, let me know your thoughts on capitalism. Like, what do you think about this? Like, obviously, but it's like there are ways to talk to children about oppression, about injustices happening, about how it affects them, and like, what are their thoughts on that? because that's how you build community with children, by engaging with them and including them in these things. Also, maybe a child does not want to do that, and that's also fine. That's where like childcare comes in. Like, just like being able to say, you can bring your children to this space, and that is okay. Because most of the time, even like if that's not said or left unsaid, sometimes I'm like, what if I show up to this thing and I bring my son and he's the only kid there, and they don't like that, or they don't want this kid. You know what I mean? You feel like, as a parent, you feel like sometimes you can't show up with your child because you don't know if other people are going to be annoyed, if like, you know what I mean? So it's just like very basic shit that people don't, like I said, think about. Parents can't make it to everything. If there's like a meeting on a Wednesday, right? Like sometimes like parents just can't make it, but like to be like engaging with parents in your networking spaces, like what can we do to help you? Like what do you need to be more comfortable in this space, to bring your child into this space? Like who is willing to provide this childcare? Who is willing to build these conversations or workshops for children? And it doesn't even have to be like, sometimes you could just have an event for children and for youth. Like it doesn't even have to include parents, right? So like, yeah, like just very basic shit, but it's like in very little ways. Like I said, how do you talk about like the language that you use when you talk about children and parents? Like what, how do you feel? Like I feel like people need to do some deep internal reflection on what they feel about parents. If there's hostility there, if there's some sort of like, why don't you want to include children? Like, why is there hesitation there? Is it because you don't want children? Like, okay, that's irrelevant to like, people just like, I don't know. It's just like very all.
Yeah, I think about a couple of things in regards to this. Like the hesitance to like educate children on this thing, on like oppressions and stuff like that, comes oftentimes from like our inability to explain things on a broader level or a more accessible level, which is a problem not only when we're trying to engage families, but when we're trying to engage people who are not, nose deep in books, which this is not anti-intellectualism. I think that reading theory and all that shit is important. I also think that without putting it into practice in some way, particularly in making it accessible for other people to digest, then it's kind of for nothing. It's kind of for show. It's mostly just to impress other leftists. And I followed this dude on Instagram who kind of has like a weekly accountability thing. I forgot his handle, but he like first of all he breaks down like a bunch of terms of like, if people look at you blankly when you say gentrification, then say, rich people are buying up all this area and kicking out, poor people, people that look like us, and that's gentrification. Like, don't assume that everybody knows the shorthand for things. People mostly know the terms that are immediately applicable to their lived experience. And when we talk about kids right now, like, there's this like conservative pushback against content that makes kids or adults uncomfortable because it makes them feel guilty or it makes them feel sad. But it's like sadness and like shame are kind of a part of the human experience, especially when we're living like in the imperial core. We're living in America. Kids should know about what, their home country is perpetuating in their name. And I'm reminded of like there's in that whole like backlash against empathy, essentially, which includes shows from PBS, mainly Sesame Street. Miss Rachel has been like thrown into that, and how her talking about Gaza and breaking it down in terms of like, adults are supposed to protect children, and right now they're not doing that. Like, breaking it down in terms like that and having kids understand like the oppression of Palestinian folks, is it triggers the conservatives and triggers the liberals who, A, did not want to have that conversation about it because they haven't dealt with their own culpability in this issue, right? And their own inaction or their own involvement in it. And part of like making things accessible is also like confronting the things that, you know, would hold us liable or guilty to perpetuating like certain oppression, certain isms, because kids are gonna know, right? Like when Ms. Rachel explains, like, oh, you know, Palestinians are being bombed by Israel, and they ask their parents about it, and their parents are, you know, they can't answer in a way that doesn't make them look guilty, right? Like, you know, what are we doing, mom? And they're like, well, we're doing nothing. Well, why not? Right? So part of like and like allowing kids in our spaces also includes like the hard work of us being able to take accountability for the questions that the kids will bring up that might show us in a darker light. And I think that is one of the reasons why maybe leftists don't want kids in their spaces. And another thing about
Because
like
of the sadness, because
in
of
a,
not like wanting to explain these things to children, you mean?
yeah, not wanting to explain these things, not wanting to look guilty for like not having the solutions for kids.
Okay.
And I think another thing too is that like there is such a short-sightedness when it comes to allowing parents into or like thinking about families when it comes to organizing. Like people, like they're blaming like the like family units for not partaking in things when it's like you are blaming the wrong people. Like, why do you think they don't have time for this? Like, what are the conditions that families are living under that keeps them from joining spaces, right? You mentioned like, oh, I can't show up to a meeting if it's on a Wednesday. Like, you know, what are leftists doing to ensure that like meetings or actions are not taking space in, on a school night or don't require like a high buy-in, like a financial buy-in to partake in. What are we doing in those cases, right? What al and what alternatives are there? Like, you know, there are people who, for example, are like camping out in like, you know, ISA detention centers and you know, what are the alternatives for folks who can't be doing that, can't have their kids in these spaces? Are you connected to people who are trying to take a legislative approach, an informational educational approach? And why not? And if you don't have those things, like why not? When like educating the public, right? From, you know, the most informed to the least informed, getting them all on the same level is how things move forward. Otherwise, you're kind of just LARPing revolutionary, like a revolutionary, because like simple, like direct action is incredible, but like without a plan to organize people and bring them to the fold, like it is not sustainable. And I think that's when families come into play, right? How I think you brought up some, you know, some examples of like, you know, Latin American parents get involved, but it's happened in America too, right? When there's like when moms formed a chain, a barrier between cops and protesters and things like that. Those types of actions go a long way because they hold a mirror to the hypocrisy of the state that says that like the family unit is the most important thing, and yet they're attacking it, right? So all these things are things that I feel like sometimes people ignore, people don't want to confront in their disavowal of like the family unit as a space where organizing can take place.
For sure. I think going back to conversation of educating children about these things, it's like I think people just don't do it because they've never done it before. And it could be intimidating, especially when we're talking about children, right? Like, how do I explain this to children? Like you said, without making them sad or, but that's like the reality. Like, I think people need to start thinking again when we're talking about capitalism and how it's not just like it affecting parents, how it affects children. And children have a right to understand capitalism and not just like also just like everything that's going on around them, whether that be race, gender, sexuality, like children are dealing with these things too. It's not like they're unaware. Trust me, they're very aware, but they probably just don't have the language. And especially right now with the attacks on school education, it's like, who is going to teach them these things? And why are we not willing to be those, like, step up and, like, even not just like a community space, like, I'm talking also like individually, like, as parents, like, we should be having these conversations with our children. Obviously, a lot of sorry, it's because like you said a lot that I agree with too. But you know, when I talk about like anti-parents or like it's also very rooted in misogyny, and I feel like people also need to acknowledge that because a lot of the times when we talk about children, we're talking about mothers specifically. Yes, there are dads. Okay, but let's be real. The majority of parents are going to caretakers are mothers, and specifically from that single mothers, and then we can go into, you know, like the layers of like racial in that, like Black mothers, Indigenous mothers, right? Undocumented mothers, right? There's like layers here. But when you hate children and when you're don't like children in public spaces, you don't want to include children in these spaces, and who you're also really excluding is women. Like the big part of who you're excluding and confining into private spaces are women, are mothers. So it's also like this very misogynist, a lot of people that hate parenthood. It's also just like very, it's like motherhood. Like, let's be fucking for real. It's never really aimed at dads. So it's also just like hurtful and damaging to women, to mothers specifically, that we're not allowed to exist in public with our children are not allowed to exist in public, but neither are we because we are their caretakers. So then we're confined to our houses because we feel like we cannot go anywhere with our children. So it is just like anti-child, it's antinatalism, it's this, but it's also misogyny and on some level classism too, because I see this conversation a lot, like working people under capitalism cannot participate in these things. And like again, yeah, that's like a real th this is a real thing for everyone under capitalism, right? Like we're just trying to survive, where it's like very individual. It's like, why do I have time to go to a protest? But people do it. And the working class is always on the front lines. It's not like rich people are out here protesting anything. So, you know, like you're trying to imply that like poor people don't have the capacity or like the willingness, or like that they don't care about these things, and it's false. It's always been false. So, like, like this whole take just falls apart. It like pisses me off, and it's annoying, and I hate to see it, but it pisses me off. It pisses me off. And just like on a side note, I like every time we talk about children, it's just like it's frustrating to me because, like, I don't know if y'all have been seeing the news about this baby that was killed. I think it was in California. I think Emmanuel Haro. Are you familiar with that story?
No.
This happened like at the beginning of August. Like, there's somewhere in California, these two parents made up this lie that like someone had kidnapped their baby from some parking lot at like the Big Five. And it was very apparent that this whole thing just felt like a lie. And like, to make that story short, like they made up this lie because they are the ones who like harmed their baby and killed their baby. And right now this investigation is like ongoing. Like they've arrested these parents. They're trying to find like the remains of the baby. You know, this isn't like some isolated case, but it's been very big like on national media, mostly honestly because they made up this fake story. And so people were really invested, like, no, they're, you know, I feel like it's a very dramatic thing that people are like very invested in. But whenever there's like a national case like this of like child abuse, especially when it like the outcome is like that the child is dead, people are very invested. People are very outraged, right? Because I think generally people stand against child abuse and like killing children, right? Like, off fucking obviously. But I hate it because I'm like, what are you doing day to day for children? Right? Like, we can all be outraged when a child dies and a child is abused, but it's like, how are you, what are you doing with the children in your life? Or just like, what do you think about children in general outside of abuse? Because that's my biggest thing. It's like annoying too that a lot of people that are sharing this like antinatalist, like leftist takes are in the same breath being like, oh, children in Gaza. And it's like, yes, okay, let's talk about children in Gaza, but like, why do we only care when children are being killed and when they're being abused, especially by the state? But like, outside of that, it's like, we don't give a fuck until your child is dead. Like, we're only going to show up when your child is killed by the state. We're only going to show up for you when your child is being harmed by you, by someone else, maybe. But anything outside of that, it's like people don't give a shit about children. And it's very, it's angry and it's very frustrating because it's like crocodile tears. That's how I felt. That's how I feel about a lot of these cases. Like when Uvalde happened, everyone was outraged, like they should be. Like, but it's like, okay, let's go back to just ignoring children and not giving a shit about their parents and like not wanting them on planes and not wanting them at restaurants and like making their mothers feel weird for being here. Like, I don't know. I just, it's like, I hate it.
Yeah, with the latest school shooting that happened, it didn't even register. I have become so just angry with the situation that like it's like okay, and Sandy Hook happened a decade ago and nothing changed. Those kids are now voting age and like some of them even have gotten involved, like politically, trying to stop, like try to like change gun laws, and nothing has changed. And it's again because people don't love children more than they love money, right? And as part of like the, there was this video by Lindsay Ellis on like the sins of Miss Rachel and how the conservative folks have like demonized her for teaching empathy. And one of the things she talked about is like how people have this weird relationship to like numbers, right? Of like a certain amount of numbers of like people affected by a certain oppression is bad, but too many is unbelievable. And like we begin to like not even understand it. Right. So, hundreds of kids being killed is bad, but hundreds of thousands of them is just such a unimaginable number that humans just ignore it. And so similarly to this, like there's so much outrage about like, children being killed, but nothing about like the greater issues, right, that stem from greed and politics and stem from child abuse and child neglect, right? Look at what happened the minute that, a CEO was, or two CEOs were like reportedly killed. They started in New York and started making laws to protect CEOs and billionaires, right? And provided security details for them. Like, because that's what matters to the people in power. And the folks who are not in power are too oftentimes swayed by the media, by the controlling folks, to know any better, and to know that they're being like brainwashed, and to basically sympathizing with billionaires and, turning a blind eye to children who are suffering. But that wouldn't even be able to be activated or even be able to exist if like we didn't care about children to begin with, like a society. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I guess that's like my biggest thing. It's like this whole conversation is again boiled down to just say you don't like kids and go, because I hate this fake outrage. I hate this fake, like, oh, it's because we're critiquing anti-capitalism. It's because we're looking out for parents. Like, no, you're not. Like, you're not. I think people don't want to do the work of dealing anything with children because it's hard. It's hard. It's new. It's like a lot of people, like when we talk about it takes a village, right? People always like it takes a village, but people don't actually mean that. They just like love to throw that around, and it's like it does take a village. Like that, like child rearing isn't supposed to be like a two person, one person fucking thing. It needs to be, like I said, everyone in community is responsible for the children in that community, and people don't like that because obviously, like, that's like work that they have to do. That's a responsibility that they have to take. And it goes back to people being like, well, they're not my child. I don't want children. I like children. I don't abuse children, but I don't want them. And like, it's like, let's, yeah, like if you're talking about community, children are a part of that community, and you are responsible for the childcare, the well-being, I should say, of that child. I don't give a fuck if you're related to that child or not. But people just kind of, again, want to be like, well, I'm not an abuser, and like it's sad when I see a child being abused, but like that's the extent of anything to have to that has to do with children. And it's a lot. I think also, like, there's this whole other conversation of like the state and how it tries to, like, one thing I always hear is like parental rights, and like, what the fuck does that mean? Because like, I think children are more important than parental rights. Like, the state tries to control what parents do. Parents try to control what the child does. Like, there's no autonomy for children at all. And like, these are conversations that we are should be having with children, like to let them know that they do have a voice, that they are seen, that they are heard, that they do, their opinions matter, like very basic shit. And people don't want to engage with that.
Yeah. Is there
Like, I
anything?
don't know. I'm like, I don't know. A lot of the things, like I said, it's just annoying. I just see a lot of empty things being said about children. Like, even when we say like protect trans kids, and it's like, yes, let's protect them, let's show up for trans kids, but it's like, what are you doing outside of that? Are you just saying that? Like, let's protect trans, but like, what does that mean to you? What are you actually doing for these children? Nothing.
Yeah, like real, like right now, a lot of centers, like a lot of insurance companies are rolling back their programs that help trans youth like transition. So like that's not even available to folks anymore. So, or it won't be starting the next like cycle of like Medicaid or whatever, which I think is in October or at the end of September. But yeah, it's a lot of that. I think about all these rollouts and like rollbacks in relations to like families and stuff, and I think also about how like the current president of Mexico, Claudia, is like really sticking to her guns and providing health care for families, particularly elderly and disabled folks who get doctors or caretakers sent directly to them. How she's also making public transportation accessible for folks. And like, it was a long journey to get to her, right? We had to put up with AMLO for a bit, who was essentially, a mixed bag of shit. But that's what it looks like to actually push like a politician or a party to the left, right? They didn't let like when AMLO fucked up, it looked like the people really rose up and pushed back against him, even though he was supposedly like a more progressive candidate. And after like years of that, like his party said, oh, our people are not gonna like take the fo their foot off our neck, so we should stick to our promises. And that's how we got, President Claudia really pushing things forward in a time where it seems like every other Western government is rolling back rights and sticking to a capitalist or and neoliberal way of running things. I mean, and I'm saying this because obviously, in the lead up to this, it wasn't just out of like the goodness of these politicians' hearts. It was because they received organized pushback from people, from activists, and in many, many cases, from families. You know, every time I see like a radical, like parent, it always seems to be from Latin America in my news feed, right? Particularly mothers, as you said, really putting themselves on the line to hold governments accountable. And I think that in the US, we really need to wake up to the radical possibilities of embedding families into our organizing.
Yes, very much. And like one thing I wanted to say is like I know this conversation feels a little all over the place every time there's like a conversation on children because there's just like so much to talk about and
Because
like
everything ties together,
everything ties
like.
together. Yeah, exactly. But like one thing is like I know people know like child abuse is like I said when we talk about child abuse like the majority of people I think are gonna agree like obviously we're against child abuse like people sh shouldn't abuse children whatever right? But it's kind of like, how can we stop child abuse, right? Because like people are like, child abuse awareness, and it's like, I think we're all fucking aware that child, you know what I mean? Like, what is okay, child? Like, what are we doing, right? And it's like, when we're talking about the state, it's like there's CPS, which CPS is like a fucking mess. It's not some reliable thing. We expect like carceral punishment, right? And it's this is always after the fact, usually when children are already dead, that like this that the, these. Ch parents are like locked up like so like what are we like how do we actually stop child abuse and like it really goes back to again the way that we talk and view children talk about and view children in our everyday language and thoughts like calling out someone like for saying I'm gonna beat my child like very like just in the way that we think about children and view children because under white supremacy specifically, like children are disposable. Under capitalism, children are because they're not contributing, right? Like they're, we talked about child labor, like on a previous episode, like, okay, they're disposable. They're not seen as something worth protecting. They're kind of just used mostly by politicians, like to get whatever law they need to pass, right? Like it's propaganda, whatever. But one thing is like, I see so many stories of child abuse, like, I don't know. It was just like the algorithm or whatever on my feed because like I see a lot of these I read a lot of these stories and it they're just so like it's wild to me how prevalent child abuse like cases of child abuse are like every day I see a new horrifying fucking story of a child there was just like aside from this baby that these parents like killed this poor baby like this dad had done it to his 10 week old daughter like 4 years ago and he got like 6 months probation and then whatever there was like another case like last week of an 11-year-old girl who had a baby unmedicated by herself and like the trauma of I can't even imagine like what this poor baby went through like ju not just as like abuse but then having to have a child by herself alone without any medication like the whole thing is just horrific but these are just like these are not isolated cases I see them all the time and I'm always like how do you stop child abuse like how do you and one of like the biggest things is that there are so many people that failed these children whether it was like their extended family their relatives or grandma their teachers, a lot of these kids are homeschooled on purpose so that no one can see them or save them, right? But in a lot of these cases, like these children were just failed miserably by everyone around them. And it's like, if we actually were in community with children, we would be able to save a lot of these children from abuse and from isolation because they would have like that sense of like, I'm here with people that care about me. And if, you know what I mean? Like, if we had this connection with this child, and we saw that they were hungry or we saw that they were being abused and we would be able to like step in and sometimes it's like a lot of cases of like what we see as neglect is like parents just struggling right it doesn't necessarily have to be like this parent is like a terrible parent because they're not providing, for example, like a clean house for this child to be in. And it's like maybe that parent needs help. Maybe they're depressed. Maybe they're overworked and they need someone to step in and be like, hey, let me help you clean your house. Let me bring you a meal for you and your, like little shit like that of what we're bringing back to community. Like a lot of these things, I'm not saying child abuse would just cease to exist, but we would, like I said, like there's that sense of like, just this child isn't mine, so why should I be in community with this child? But yeah, I just wanted to say that. And it all goes back to, again, like thinking about these things and including children and parents in events and spaces and conversations in our fucking politics.
Yeah, like you're mentioning, like kids should feel comfortable to like talk about certain things. It reminds me again of like how Sesame Street like had episodes about like, trust an adult. This is and like it had in its in a way that only Sesame Street and other very conscious like children's programming can do. Like told kids, if someone is hurting you, trust these people, or like, make sure you have a trusted adult. And the fact that conservatives are trying to remove that kind of education and replace it with shit like PragerU, which is conservative fucking religious shit, that often does that doesn't talk about any of these things. And a lot of the shows that they have going on are ripoffs of PBS and even Miss Rachel and Blue's Clues, that are like very base level shit. It also ignores that like so many cases of abuse come from the freaking church. So all of this is part of like the same like mentality that of like child abuse and child neglect. Anything else you wanted to add to this?
I don't think so right now because like I've said a lot and like I'm sure we'll have like more conversations about this, but I think for now, yeah. For now, y'all are full of shit and that's all I'm gonna say about that.
All right. And with that, has anything made you less bitter in the last few weeks?
No, I think like the only thing, well, I think the only thing cool that's happened is like Deftones put out a new record and it's really good. And that's all I've been listening to. And last year, like I keep saying, like I had like music was so good last year. Like there were
Yeah.
so many like new music that was out that I loved. And like this year, I haven't been excited for like an album until now. So yeah.
Yeah, music has been ass this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Honestly, what has made me happy? The latest Gap commercial with Cat's Eye. It's so cute.
Okay. Sorry, that reminded me of the Cracker Barrel thing
Oh, we'll
real
get back to
quick.
that in another commercial in the other
Okay.
episode. Also, yeah. If y'all want to join on Patreon, there'll be another episode coming out today. So we can come. But yeah, I love Cat's Eye. I love how cool they are, and it's a really diverse
I don't know
group.
who that is. Is that like a
It's a like a world group that is formed under like a K-pop label, but it has like, Latina, Indian girl, Filipina, Chinese girl, Korean girl, and like a black Norwegian girl, and they make pop music, and it's really fun and cutesy. And they recently did a commercial with Gap that kind of was I don't think Gap meant this maybe on purpose, but it was like kind of a jab at the Sydney Sweeney situation of it all. Because this commercial was so diverse and blah blah blah, and was in opposition to like the conservative talking points that the American Eagle commercial had. So that was really cute to watch, and it's cool to see their success because there are a bunch of really cute girls and two of them are gay. So that's cool.
okay. All right.
And they danced to Khalees' Milkshake. And Khalees actually re-recorded the song for this commercial, So she's finally making money off that song in commercial
Oh.
use because she doesn't make money off the regular recording of Milkshake. So that was cute to see too. And that is it for me. Thank you guys for joining us this episode. Yeah, we'll see y'all next time.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Before we leave, I want to give a shout out to our I know her level patrons, and that is Fernando Peña, Selena Portera, Miranda E, Ronnie Leva, and Bianca Garcia. If you also want to get a shout out at the end of our episode, consider becoming an I know her level patron over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link is in the description. All right, y'all. Bye.